English medium discussion. We have assigned topic. We have an assigned sutta. But before going to that, I would like to know whether there are any other topics to be started with. Sukhi hantu. Sadhu sadhu anumodami. Anumodi tabbang. Khamami khamitabbang. So before going to the book, if you have any other thing to be presented to the discussion, welcome.
Avasarai Bante, we have received one report today.
Yes.
Is it most venerable Bante, I have a short statement from practice. I can feel a continuous feeling of subtle agitation in mind at vitakka level. Whenever my focus comes back to my body, I can always feel this feeling in the mind. I can witness a strong feeling of self within this agitation. I can feel my mind trying to form an idea of self continuously. Much merits and tirvan sarna. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
So just before that, we started the Concept and Reality, the book by Venerable Jnanananda. Luckily, we had a singular translation. We started today the new topic. And he explained how the mental proliferation and adverting of the mind, the vitakka, differs. He says, mind is always selecting out of many, many things to where to advert the mind. All the time we have hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching and thinking. But the mind take only one thing at a time. So that selection is we call adverting of the mind. That is how the advertisement happened in the world. But that adverting, either you can do or God can do it for you. Some people say it's God. Some people say you have yourself restrained. So while it is happening, after a while it go beyond control. Just like a vehicle climbing down, not heeding to clutch and ultimately taken to the valley. So likewise, gathering the momentum beyond control, that is called proliferation, papancha. So beyond vitakka, it is not under your control. You become not the first person. You become you succumb to the situation. That's the point where the human culture, human language, and the human proliferation overcome human beings. So that's a very prolific topic. That is what the concept and reality happens. So this is report also addressing to the vitakka and that beyond control, proliferation. So you can't think about others' proliferation, but you can take care about your own proliferation. So therefore, to start to see the proliferation, Upanishadaya says, when a generator is running at 1,500 RPM, you can't reopen it and see how the electric is generating, because you will get shocked and die. So you have to calm down and stop the machine. Then only you can see what is the generator part, what is the driven part, whether it's diesel engine, no hydropower, and how the drive part and driven part. Then you can see how the cams are working, axles are working. So likewise, you have to slow down. So that's why we are sitting in a single place. Don't open your eyes, no talking, and just see what is happening. So then you can understand mind take up to the vitakka level where you have certain control and then you jump over to the proliferation. You can't think. And there you can understand who am I. It indicates your directed dispositions, your character traits, your role model. We have fear for that. We don't like to see our real nature. It happened whenever the mind take beyond control. So therefore, you have to understand the threshold from where the controlling to the beyond controlling happens. So only our friends can do it for us. Only our mindfulness can do for us. Both of them are removed in the present day education. We are learning from the old people knowledge. We are not learning by colleagues. We are not learning by mindfulness. So that is a conspiracy in the present day education. That's a hidden curriculum. But again, it says after 200 years, it is wrong. So now, try to incorporate mindfulness into the education to see how the adverting of the mind happens fairly under your control, and then how it go beyond control. Once it go beyond control, it's called papancha in Pali. Jnananda put it as mental proliferation. And some people put yet another word, Jnanamoli put another word, and Western, some other scholars put different names. And Jnananda's, just we started the book today, it says mental proliferation. So therefore you have to understand where the things go beyond control. So that is the point, you can understand who am I. And who is understanding that? Understanding person is live up to the vitakka. But beyond vitakka, only understanding remains. There is no understanding person. So that is always under your very nose. You have to have a existentialism. Be here and now. You are the teacher. Listen, no one. So everyone is misleading you. So therefore, listen and then shut your mouth up, close your eyes and just see how much I can control, how much I can. It is beyond control. Knowing beyond control is only possible for the heroic people, not for the other people. It's a kind of brevity. It's a kind of a radical reflection to go. Let that go beyond and still observe yourself. I don't know whether what I am telling is communicable to the writer. So that is what I have to say. You are in a real crux of meditation. Please continue and keep the vigilance open. Keep the diligence open. Keep the mindfulness intact. Continue to do the same, please. Hari.
Thank you, Bhante. There's no more reports for today, Bhante.
Okay, that's all for the reports are concerned. If there are no comments from the audience here, we can continue with the Pasura Sutta.
Maybe I can just add, because I very much like Vedananupasana, and because I found it very complicated once things go into proliferation, into Chittanupasana, it can... You know, one can find it hard to distinguish, what am I thinking about? Is this aversion? Is this dislike? Is this anger? Is this hatred? You know, there's so many categories of Chittanupasana, whereas in Vedananupasana, it can be quite, you could say, primitive or fundamental or straightforward or simple, of where I know I'm averse. So the mind is bending towards or it's bending away from the experience or the phenomena. And even sometimes we're not aware of what the object is, like what am I bending away from? What is the mind averse to? But I know there's aversity. I know that there's dukkha. I know there's suffering. I know that this is uncomfortable, unpleasant. So just even that primitive knowing that that the mind is deflecting or bending away from the object, I may not be able to exactly pinpoint the object. It may be obscure. You know, is it a sensation in the body? Is it a thought? Is it a memory? Is it something else in the plane of consciousness, in the field of consciousness? So, but just simply knowing that adversity or that displeasure, that bending away of the mind, that very primitive interaction between the mind, attention, and then the arising bending away of the mind from the object, whatever that object is very, very useful information, because on this kind of substrate of that averse feeling, then arises all the other proliferation of Chittanupasana, all the other different thoughts, like I don't like that person, or I don't like this feeling, this sensation, this temperature, I don't like this, I don't like that. We add on the story of I, the ego, or the atta, and then we add on this, like in adversity, we always need an object to dislike. We dislike something, and it's interesting, like that, the state of Vedana. I may not know what the object is, But at Chittanupassana, at that level, it becomes like, oh, I don't like that person. So you can, you may not have actually an adversity towards that person. You may just feel hungry or something like that. There may be an uncomfortable, painful sensation going on in the body, but we mistakenly label, oh, that person is bothering me, when it was something else, you know? And so I find Vedananupassana very, very useful. And one of the definitions of mind, nama, is that it bends towards, or it bends. It's that bends. So the difference between rupa doesn't bend. Rupa doesn't deflect. It's the mind that is bending and deflecting. And so when we have Vedananupassana, you know, under our thumb, when we have manageability over Vedananupassana, then we have a tremendous opportunity to have manageability in our life.
So that as far as you presented this, I would like to say, Mahasi's system really explained when the mind is about to bend, what happened to your primary object. You can completely speak in terms of primary object, how is the vitakka is working, how it is going beyond vitakka, and the object become obscured. Object become in-breath appear equal like out-breath. And then it's blur. It's become boring. It's become monotonous. You get up and go. That's the crux. That's the point you have to endure. That's where you have to be mindful. That's the point where you have to be vigilant. That's the point you have to be diligent. That's what you call tapas, the restraint. Just let that all go beyond your control, and it is like vomitish. It's like nauseatic. Just be, just see, then evolution can take place. So that part is explained by akara, the santahana, akara, sabhava. Three stages in Mahasi system. And Upandita Sada was the expert I found. Whenever you see santahana, the shape, he can read you by your reading. And when it's changing to the akara, manners, you can read it. And for manners to natural characteristics is the tricky point. That's the point your object become unlimited, no boundaries, merging with others. You feel like boring. You feel like monotonous, no clear cut, not dramatic. So you get up and go. So that is the point you have to endure, changing from your meditation or samatha to vipassana. Many can't endure it. They get up and go, I am very boring, people are coughing, mosquitoes are biting, as he mentioned, hunger is coming, uncomfortable, I can't. But that's the point you have to endure, and that is very, very interesting. And the Buddha says that enduring part, that is boring and monotonous, is the worst thing in the life. But understanding very thing is the best thing in your life. Understanding that boredom. Understanding this lethargic feeling, understanding outcasted like, understand like no address. You can find who am I, where is the object, where is the mindfulness, what I am doing. Everything bizarre. So that if you can explain, that you can put into report, it you will be the classic worldly essay. No one can write. By that time you get up and go on, you find fault with the teacher, you find fault with the climate, you find fault with the food, you find fault with the this and that. And these things are enough in the world. Useless, bullshit. But instead you can say, I can endure. Even if it's boring, I can. Okay, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. ඉතල උඩට දාගන්න ඔය ෆ්ලැප් එක ඔය ෆ්ලැප් එක උඩට දාගන්න ආ දැන් වහන්න දොර උස්සන්න පුළ ආ දැන් දාන්න දැන් ඇතුලින් ඇතුලට ගිහලා අත දාලා අන්න දැන් කැඩලා තියෙනවා මම දැන් ආ දැන් රිලව ඔක්කොම දාන්න ඕකේ ඕකේ we are going to the Pasura Sutta. You may give an introduction. You gave last time the background for Pasura Sutta. That will be interesting because this is just the beginning of the sutta.
Yeah, so again, there was a person in the time of the Buddha called Pasura, and he was an expert debater, and he would challenge people to debate, and he was very good at arguing and splitting and picking up a point and throwing it back at the person, and very quick-minded, very logical, very rational. But at the same time, what he really enjoyed was this disputation, disputing with people, arguing with people, and trying to win and being victorious over them in argument. So he had ended up one day challenging the Venerable Sariputta to a argument. And then he was defeated in that argument by the Venerable Sariputta. So then this was related back to the Buddha, and then the Buddha gave this discourse on disputation and its futility. And so in the modern times, I find that I was trying to navigate and understand the current media environment, and this sutta is very helpful in looking at the kind of disputatious arguments that are happening in media, in politics, and so on, and gives us a breakdown and gives us a handle of the aspects of disputation, what is motivating people into disputation, into this kind of disputation, meaning argument for the sake of argument, just like you would see on the opinionated kind of section in the news, where instead of just giving you the facts and the basic information, they give you the opinion and the spin. So that's this sutta is addressing this kind of human characteristic or quality of spinning and opining upon things. So in that way, it's actually quite a lively sutta and very illustrative, and it kind of shows us how people haven't changed in 2,500 years. So I can quickly read over the first two verses, so to help people catch up, and then we'll begin the third. Here alone is purity, they declare. They say there is no purity, there is no purification in other teachings. Declaring whatever they depend on to be excellent, many are entrenched in separate truths. Desiring debate, having plunged into the assembly, in pairs they accuse one another of being a fool. Those of different convictions assert their argument, desiring praise, claiming to be skilled. So we'll begin today's analysis on keen on speaking in the midst of the assembly. Wishing for praise, he becomes anxious. If his assertion is rejected, he feels humiliated. Upset by blame, he seeks flaws in his opponent. So again, you see here the Buddha now is getting down to the crux of what is motivating these debaters. It is that they're keen on speaking in the midst of assembly. They enjoy the attention, they enjoy the fame, they enjoy the accolade, they enjoy having people listening to their whatever word comes out of their mouth. So it's quite interesting if you look at these newscasters, like they're not the reporters, they're not the people who are involved in the action, but they're sort of just sharing the news. And everybody's listening to the person who's speaking the news. And we misperceive, oh, this person really knows what's going on in the world, when they're just reading out from what is written in front of them. They actually don't know anything about what's going on. They're just sort of like a relay antenna. They're just reporting. They're just passing on the message. They're just messengers. But we mistake their speaking in the midst of the assembly for truth or for news or for illuminating what's going on in the world. And what this person is getting in return is a sort of an adulation. They're wishing for praise. And because they wish for praise, they're also anxious and nervous at the same time. So again, if we look at these TV newscasters, we don't see the anxiety, but if they're not drawing the numbers, or if people are not tuning in to watch their presentation of the news, well, then they can be thrown out of their job. And if his assertion is rejected, he feels humiliated. So again, they'll have these experts on the show, and no expert on the show is brought in to show up any of these newscasters as not knowing anything. So this person, even though they know nothing about it, they've never heard of this phenomena before, they call in an expert, the expert knows all about it. But this newscaster will try to ask some sharp questions or seem like that they know what's what, like that they're kind of a know-all. And if his assertion is rejected, he feels humiliated. So no expert will say that you're just a fool and you know nothing. Upset by blame, he seeks a flaw in his opponent. So again, they'll just say something back like, that's just your opinion and I'm entitled to my own opinion. So even though they know nothing, they're entitled to their own opinion. So this is a very ancient kind of argument that's been going on for 2,500 years. So maybe you want to comment on that first
Not only the newscasters or the religious masters all the same. They are carrying the message from the master and completely camouflaged.
Yeah, I'm just using the newscasters as an example in the modern time.
You had to mercilessly attack all the religious masters.
We can attack all the religious masters and the politicians and everybody who does this.
No, worst thing is the religious. Worst thing is because they are talking about the liberation of the people.
Yeah.
They are talking about the unknown.
Yeah.
So they are the worst lot.
Yeah, of course.
That is what Karl Marx and others told. They are opiated.
That's why it's in fact like a parajika for us. Number four is to kind of make false pretenses and to try to entrap and snare people, and you know, it's extremely serious. Yes.
Yeah. So if you take the rogues behind robes, they appear like full of robes and all the kind of thing, adulation and all the kind of thing, but no, nothing. So no one challenge. So that is what when I was 26 years old at the 1977, he told, be careful about religious masters. They appear like birds, full of adoration, and they are male lot. But the newscasters are basically females. They are full of facelifting and all the kind of thing, full of nervous. They are reading whole world within 5 minutes. So you have to be alert in the newscast. So housewives are cooking meals. They run to the television. When they go back, food is toasted at the kitchen. The news is so important for our life. So exactly the same thing happened in the temples and the churches. And that is why the French, the medieval revolution, killing of the god, and the Christian communism came, atheism came. But even the argumentation is like that the Buddha presented, not arguing kind of a theory, is still you can prove it by arguing itself. You can debate, no problem. Any debater can come, you can tell, you can just face to face. The Buddha never run away from the debaters. Venerable Sariputta never run away. But they are not debating type. They are not the initiative. But anyone come, I can face it. But this method is very nose, undergeoity nose, but debatable. So therefore, it is not telling that they are debaters, so we are not going. No. If you have debate, please come. So much of people came to the Buddha, came to the Venerable Sariputta. The way the debate went on, they understood something special here. Other debates are for the sake of debate. The vivadapanna means for the clashes. But the Buddha's debate is not, but for the mere understanding under your very nose here and now. So therefore, present day, these two arts, one thing is religion, other thing is rational this thing, only the Buddhism can withstand. All the others will be disproved, because it is not debatable. They are not happy with debating. They say, please accept. This is a holy script. If you are challenging, you are destined to purgatory. or the hell. But the Buddha says, anything you accept mere belief that is taught by Buddha, you are not my disciple. Everything you have to scrutinize. So therefore, we have this Dhamma discussion. We can scrutinize. These are very serious things. We are very minute. We have very little knowledge. But we are trying to touch it through one day, one way is under your very nose. Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana, Chittanupassana. The other thing is through words, through grammar, through the language. And this book is being translated by at least six versions. Many people are different versions because they are very in archaic language. We can have a lot of interpretation. But Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi, his translation, he took this book, the Singhala translation, he said this is the best. Singhala Pali scholars, and you are reading the third version or the second? The first one I read, Ideva Suddhi Idavadi Anti Nanyesu Dhammesu Visuddhi Mahu Yannisita Tatta Subhang Vidana Vadana Pacheka Satchesu Putuni Vitta. Anyone associating your teacher or the founder, he says he is the only auspicious teacher. He is the only auspicious teaching. And rest is wrong. He is teaching about purification, others are wrong. That's why you become a disciple of that particular master. The second verse it says, Tevada Kama Parisam Vigaya Balang Dahanti Mithu Anyamanyam Vadanti Te Anyasita Khatojang Pasansa Kama Kusala Vadana. The person who arguing, debating, go into the group or people and tell you are inferior. Your argument is not rational. Likewise, always telling for find fault with others. He everyone tell that you are the best. You are the learned. You are the contented. Like he expect praise in the debate. That's why they are very tension, as he tried to mention. So argument is not for the facts, but to just to win over the others. So that is how the tension developed. Number three, yutta kathayang parisaya majhe pasansa miccha vinisati bhoti apahatasming phanamanku bhoti nindayaso kujjati randamesi. He is very happy. He is very happy to have phrase, only phrase. That's the way he is coming to the debate. But still he doubt whether the other person will win and may he be suppress me. So he don't give any chance. So try to have only win-win argument. Vimansakyan vishin ohu ade beharakaratme makwe. When someone is giving a counter-argument, he become very shy. He become very inferior and backwardly. Pilimalluge Siddharu Soyane He Nindayan Kopeta Pamina. And then he says his working habit, style is no good, context is no good, grammar is no good. Likewise, he finds fault with others, and that part come out of wrath, the anger. So this is how the debate, as he mentioned, it's an old subject, old art, 2,500 years old. Exactly the same today. So it's a joke. People make, today is the end of the day. End of the world. Corona is worst. Economic crisis is worst. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. World is the world. So what you are going to say?
Okay, I was just going to say that's the translation by Jnanadeepa Bhante.
Jnanadeepa.
Yes.
The Danish. Touch it and see.
I was just going to say that the translation by Jnanadeepa Bhante uses a different Pali gatha, And then if Bhante don't mind, I will just say it in the Pali, and then I will say the translation by...
You know Pasura Sutta? Are you sure?
Pasura
Sutta,
yeah.
first, second, third.
Yeah,
three,
the third
three.
One. Yeah,
third
one is different than the one that you read, but the first two was the same.
The translation or the Pali you are
the
talking?
The Pali.
No.
Yeah.
Pali cannot be. He must be definitely following this. Please read the Pali in the third, number three.
Yutto gata yan parisaya macce pasansa micchan vinigati hoti apahatasmin panamanku hoti nindaya so kupati randamesi.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
But when you were reading, I heard something different.
Maybe.
But I was
your voice also not bad. Good.
Give that. And then this one in the English translation, it says, engaged in dispute in the midst of the assembly, wanting praise, he becomes anxious. When being refuted, he becomes depressed, which is different than the other one that said humiliated. And then when blamed, he gets irritated and looks for a flaw.
Yeah. So exactly the idea is same. Details you can go by words and kind of thing, but they managed. They managed to give the general translation.
Yeah, we'd just like to point out, like, there's more than 150 translations of the Sutta Nipata, and there's a lot of differences. Like, for instance, in the meter, like, some people are trying to catch the poetic sound and the meter in the verse. Some people are trying to catch different cultural inflections. So, like, I also have in front of me Sadatissa's translation, Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation, A.K. Warder's translation, and they're all tackling it from different aspects. So in this way, the Sutta Nipata is very rich for anybody who wishes to study Buddhism, because you can also see the challenge of translation and interpretation. And then also you have to understand that some people are scholars, and then some people are practitioners. So when we tackle it here in this monastery, we tend to come from the more the practitioner side of things. We're not trying to be incredibly pure to the language, to the meter, to the rhyme, or to like the other aspects of the translation itself. And we're trying to relate it to the present time. So when I'm talking about the news media or something like that, it's just something that I feel is very strong in the current moment. Maybe Venerable Dhammajiva sees it more in terms of religious debaters. But for me, I see how media is confusing a lot of people, and politicians and these not true leaders are kind of spinning things around and confusing people. So in that way, it's quite lively. But again, we may not be quite precise to the exact word of the Buddha and the time, because again, the Buddha was giving a precise teaching to the people of that time, of that place. It was a detailed prescription for that time and place. It's not a general prescription as such. So
something not directly connecting, I would like to present some ideas from Ospensky or the Gurdjieff. And one day Gurdjieff go to a Mr. G. He's living in Germany, but Indian origin. And he says, whenever restraint put into your mind, I would say whenever mindfulness put into your mind becomes split. The unmindful old mind and the new mindful mind. And then debate starts, argument or dialogue starts. And then he says, mindful mind is always creating four problems. So always irritated. Unmindful mind is just fly. Don't care. No restraint. And second thing is fault finding. My own fault. I am so late to understand mindfulness. Now only I know. I would have learned it much before. And the third one is, he also claims mindful, but he's always doing wrong things. He don't help me. While I'm meeting, he's talking. Finding fault with others. And pedantic. Everything must be perfect. No flies must be there. No coughing must be there. No rain must be there. No birds must be there. So these four comes only when you install mindfulness. All four recognize as negative, but it's a clear sign of mindfulness. That very understanding indicates you are about to enlighten. You are irritated. You find your own field, weaknesses, and find he is wrong this, he is wrong that, he is wrong that, because I am very sensitive, just like a wound opened up. And the last one says, why can't we have a perfect world, the flat world instead of a globe? And then you start to make it flat. So when you go to a meditation center, you can find all that kind of foolish fellows. Every international meditation center, you find irritation, self-accusation, fault-finding, and pedantic. But Mr. G explained that indicates you are sensitive now. Your mindfulness is working, but you don't know how to interpret it. So therefore, not arguing between second person, arguing the mindful mind and unmindful mind. And before mindfulness and after mindfulness. After mindfulness, you are bad. You are very sensitive, you are alert. But that's a clear sign. So only your friend, if he's an advanced person, you can say, I can understand you. Please take it easy. This is the way at the beginning. Please continue, don't give up. Don't change the teacher, don't change the object, don't change the meditation set. Please continue. And ultimately you see who the hell can pay that cost. The irritation. The self-accusation. Finding fault with others and pedantic. So recently we had some clashes in the debate and argument. Then I chose, no harm. This can happen, but don't give up our friendship. We'll keep. We will agree to disagree. What is the problem? I mean, restrain, physical, verbal, mental restraint, never stop. Agree to disagree. And he says the media... I would say we in Sri Lanka, we don't know these big games. We are just third world country. We are just listening and doing. Now, even a third world country like Sri Lanka can understand the malice part of the social media, malice part of the international media. Because these things are coming through the WikiLeaks and all the kind of things. Now only we know, we from the backward country, it is open. So therefore, the internet is the biggest threat for the Illuminatis, biggest threat for the virus makers, not the computer virus, the coronavirus makers. Because things are coming now. So therefore, they do juggleries, all the kind of things. But simple person looking at the news can understand. So in Sri Lanka, just before the civil war, there's a huge drop of smoking, huge drop of drugs, because there's a huge campaign went on. And one psychiatrist, he came for our conference. Later, I asked him to come and talk with me. He says, we taught children just to look at the cigarette advertisement and see how they are adverting your mind. Cigarettes are not for the males now. It is basically for the females. So they are making attractive female come and make a love affair and have a this brand of gold cigarette and kind of thing. Then if you can see the adverting nature of the advertisement, you will not smoke. So I am going to make some mindful games to just read the advertisement. Just read the newsreel and see the twist. And see the, you use the term spinning. They are very good speakers, very good language, nice flow, well thought about. But by looking, you can see their intention. There is something throbbing, pushing into you. You can switch off the newsreel and go. Whenever Jnanarama says, you must never bring newspapers and other thing into the monastery. It's full of filth. No radio, no television. But of course with the 4G and all the kind of things, you can get through the internet, everything. But these things are just twisted. Upandita Saido says, even if they are there, if you are mindful, you know that you can understand the malice. So therefore he says all the meditation masters look into the newsreel. Because government is banning all the news. at that time also had the army government. He said, just read. But there are BBC and others, they give news. So, but he says, and Vivekananda was my best friend, and he says, no, monks are looking at the bad things. Then I told, if they are meditated, they know how to tackle bad things. Not by not looking at it. Look at and see the malice. So therefore, look at the advertisement and see how they are twisting, how you advertise your mind. And that is what when you are doing a sitting meditation, how the sounds come and rob you, taken you for a ride. How the thought come and taken you for a ride. So therefore, don't worry about the thoughts and the pain. And then see how quickly you can come back. Resilience. Then you see when a thought happens, pain will disappear. Sounds will disappear. Primary object will disappear. When a sound happens, thought will disappear. Sound will disappear. Primary object will disappear. Pain will disappear. So they are one replaced by others. So you know how to do juggleries. Just the flow happen. Don't take, I am a thinking type, I am pain type, I am... No. You see, replaced by others. So ultimately, you can use the filthy thing to replace filthy things. Idan nisai dampajata. That part is not being taught in samatha bhavana. Never. So therefore people like happy to listen samatha and listen to the teacher and just zooming out and go into the sombri like jhanas and no wisdom, no analytical power. But in vipassana, even you are doing samatha, you just expose. Let him play. No harm. I can replace it by another thing. So therefore, in the emotional types, six emotional types Richard Davidson presented, the first type is called resilience type. How quickly you can come back from the adverse situation to the normal mind. In sitting, how fast you can come from the wandering mind to the in-breath and out-breath. Or rising and falling. When you are walking, sitting, seeing things, hearing, everything happens, never mind. Don't grumble with them. How quickly you can come back. And yesterday we had, today we are in a retreat, 40 monks. Not all 40s, but 20 monks and 20 other spiritual teachers. Yesterday, first report. I can read today. Yesterday I told, don't talk about the wandering mind. Just see how many steps you can do, how many breaths you can do. And they are gathering so fast. Third day, fourth day, I can ask how quickly you come back to the primary object. Exactly, you can tell. Otherwise, completely they are teaching bullshit at their colleges. So government took a decision. Each and everyone must undergo a retreat. And at the third day, fourth day, they are so quickly catching it because it's an endowment, it's a human endowment to have resilience. So nothing that arguing and second party and they are coming and putting dirt into your mind, no problem. They are replacing one by other. So that's why the Buddha, as well as when the Sariputta, not worry about the arguing kind of people, debating kind of people, he can disprove by debating itself. But Theravada, usually not provoking thoughts, not provoking debates. So when Pandita Jnanarama, never. If someone comes, he just calm down. But to Pandita Sayadaw, it's not that. If you go, he will punch you. Otherwise, he will just say, be rising and falling, just be mindful. But if you come, he has weapons. He never show. So there's one Swiss monk, and he says, he has a lot of methods, Bhante. He's so rich. So you have to stir him a little. Otherwise, if you are a calm down people, he is also calm down. He says, just Buddhist monks. But if you kick him, he will give exact answer. This is not the Burmese tradition. This is not the Burmese way. They are hermit nation. But once you stirred, once you spark, now it's gone. Now it's gone. I find no single person came up to that caliber. They are talking about only meditation. They are talking only about the mindfulness. But Upanishad side is well beyond mindfulness. Use the mindfulness as a tool. Use the meditation as a tool. But to be in the present moment. So therefore, this sutta is explaining these character types, these emotional patterns. So therefore, don't worry, the people will come and put dirt into your stream of consciousness. But the next thought moment is pure. If you are not dragging, you can replace this by others. So therefore, this irritation, self-accusation, fault-finding with others and pedantic nature is explained by Gurdjieff. He's a Russian, and I think Ouspensky also Russian, and explaining him. So it was quite opening for me. All these four are negative, but it's a clear sign of that you are alert, you are mindful, you are vigilant, you are diligent. That is why the irritation. So irritation is the first sign of mindfulness. I would say the irritation is the first and foremost sign of suffering. If you do not like irritation, you will never enlighten. So you have to practice meditation and accept irritation pertaining to your mindfulness. Then you are in the present moment. Be on the ball.
That's a very strong answer. So irritation is like a wake-up call to mindfulness. Is this what you're saying?
It is a wake-up. Like the beginners always take it as a threat. Mm. Unknown teachers also take it as a threat. I mean, that's the natural mind. But the real teachers, they are radical. It's a blessing in disguise. And that is what the Pollyanna means, the novel. You must try to find a reason to be glad under any circumstances. There is nothing. And there's one sutta in Sanyutta Nikaya, Subha paramaham bhikkave metta cheto vimutti vadami idapanyasa puggalo uttaring appati vijjantasa. The Pandita Sahaja says, translate of course, you must try to see only the love spots in the phenomena. Then you are in a smooth run, no friction. You are in a least frictional path. But if you see wrong things, you are in utter mess. So you must know how to find the soft end. The glad game. Every place, everywhere, when the country is in a downhill, there's a lot of opportunities. So you must not feel, ship is going to drain, so they were going to jump into the river, to the sea. But you have the brain, you have creative thinking. So that is vipassana. Many people don't like. They want to have set answers. They want to have formulas. They want to have the teacher to come and interpret. So you are a slave. Though if you know the irritation as a blessing, you are the master. You are already enlightened on that moment. Next moment again, you may be a slave. But next moment also, you must keep vigilance to how to ride the wave, how to be on the ball.
If we have mindfulness, we're in the driver's seat. Yeah. We're not being dragged away.
You are not the chauffeur-driven car.
Yes.
You are in the driving seat. And yes. Not only mindfulness, it's mindfulness and the wisdom. Wisdom is a natural outcome of the continuity of mindfulness. Wisdom is the person is doing things. And then mindfulness taken the chauffeur-driven ride. So your mindfulness giving the opportunity and let the wisdom to run. And mindfulness happy to give the chance and go and retire. So those who do not know mindfulness always at the helm. They miss the trip. Did you get the point or misleading you?
Wisdom if wisdom takes over without mindfulness, then...
No. When the wisdom taking, mindfulness must withdraw. That is the part we are missing. When the mindfulness is continuous, wisdom is naturally come into the chair. Wisdom become prominent. Wisdom. Then mindfulness must withdraw. That is the part we don't know. That's the one you see when the girl attending to her age, the sex come into. Must be healthy growth, otherwise they will not attain. Boys also the same. Once that happens, you must not restrain everything. Then you will go mad. Must understand now you are an elderly girl or an attendant. So parents must understand. psychiatrist must understand. So that attaining to the age is like the vipassana or wisdom. So when the mindfulness continues, naturally it comes. Then we have to say, yes, darling, yes, you run now. You take the hill. I am retired. Mindfulness take the chauffeur-driven car. So smooth. Because you are running by the natural law. Because you understand the natural law. Earlier, when you are training mindfulness, you go to the no sound, no visuals, you go and just develop mindfulness in the artificial meditation center. Soundproof, no mosquitoes, no coughing, no rain, you meditate. Once it come up to, let coughing happen. Let the mosquito one and two comes. With the rain come and disturb you, because they are natural. Ultimately, wisdom will arise, that is we call the body knowledge. Mindfulness can easily retire.
Mindfulness continues, doesn't it?
Mindfulness come up to another level that we call changing the, it's called scale, different scales. You know, in economics we learn economies of scale. You reshuffle it and make it a higher company. And again reshuffle and another constitution. Mindfulness reshuffle 8 times. Mindfulness itself is, reshuffling. Constitution is reconsidered 8 times. For mindfulness has the indriya, and mindfulness has power, and mindfulness has bojjhanga, and mindfulness has the magganga, last eightfold path. No one knows. He mentioned 100 and odd translation of the Sutta Nipata. I mean, same thing. Mindfulness have official 9 shadow. They are shedding the skin 9 times. So what mindfulness you are talking?
Avasare, so the mindfulness is serving us to gain higher wisdom, not just for mindfulness, but
not a stable thing.
So it continues to
increase. It's evolving. It's very dynamic. It's very dialectic. Okay. So people arguing on the mindfulness, they are dumbfounded. They have one definition for mindfulness. So I don't like. So when I started, I had no meaning for mindfulness. This is don't try, because once you fix the mindfulness, it's dead and gone. Mindfulness is day by day it is redefining. And 7 times. And energy aspect 9 times. In certain 37 enlightenment of factors, they are repeating. Why? Because they are not lenient. They are growing in a matrix. Yes. So once you understand, he understands, we are talking different things, the way it is growing. As it goes, wisdom is get the highest nourishment. It flow. Mindfulness never disturb the wisdom. Let the wisdom to grow. Mindfulness to keep it up, cope up with. Then understand nature is the best enlightened thing. You are not going to change anything. At the beginning, yes, you go to the meditation center, silent and doing and all the kind of thing. But later you put into the field. And you put into the nature. So that changes. Never talk in samatha meditation, samatha mindfulness. Very difficult to define. Very difficult to translate Sutta Nipata. Because many versions, that is because it is evolving. That's because it is dialectic. That's because it is dynamic. It is not linear. Fixed translation means utterly wrong. That much I can say.
That's right. Thank you, Swami Hans. I just wanted to add one thing about, so if somebody's debating something, I think there's something that they're trying to confirm some craving that they have for themselves. So there was an alcoholic that I knew that said that when alcoholic, because I had this experience of this alcoholic trying to get me to come and drink with him. And he was, come on, meet me here. And I've got this bottle of alcohol. And I was telling my friend about it who had been an alcoholic. And he said, well, yeah, that's a real, that's a sign of an alcoholic. They want to convince others to come and drink with them, because they're very, maybe they want the company, they want to be right, they want, you know, they want to raise themselves up to feel good. So if somebody else agrees and joins them, then, so that's sort of like, seems like debaters also are trying to confirm some kind of craving that they have.
So inner instability, they want to confirmation from the others, from the newcomers. So science also exactly the same. You may not be agree with me. Science also completely, it is talking about bullshit, nonsense. Day by day, it is definition changes. Many people come, science become well established. But ultimately, science is disproving science. 3 months' time, 6 months' time, everything is disproved. That's a good sign. So there is nothing called science. So that is the good part I found, because now they are changing about the mind science. Then that's the end of the science. Nothing fixed. That is how the quantum physics came into being. And now it's growing. And now it's coming to the Buddhism also. So that may be the very dangerous of Buddhism. As Bhikkhu Bodhi mentioned, Buddhism can stand without science. But these things, you see, what a kind of discoveries. No Nobel Prizes, no Magsaysay Prizes for these things. But with trivial things, they issue Nobel Prize and renowned scientists. Bullshit. Scientists are utterly, contented people, not contented people. That is why they are arguing. But they don't have time for meditation. But the Richard Davidson, what I appreciate is, he daily sitting. He is one of the best scientists. And 40 years, he is sitting. So in the Free the Mind, he explained his explanation. How much the scientists disturbed him not to go to the meditative type. That's exactly the same thing in my career also. So why you become a monk? You have been taught in Sri Lankan free education. You have to serve people. So I told, I am doing my service in my own way, not by the government job, not doing a private company, but I have my company. People can't understand. Okay, five more minutes, sir.
Do you want to go to the next verse or what?
Yes, please.
So if, the next verse, if they say his assertion is defective and the judges consider it rejected, the loser laments and sorrows. He moans, he surpassed me. So again, we see this kind of the crux of this whole, the beating heart of the debater is this desire in a way for attention and to be perceived as good or right. And that when they feel judged, when the crowd don't laugh along at the joke or somebody else has a more sharp rebuttal, then they feel rejected. And the loser is lamenting and feeling sorrow and moaning, oh, he surpassed me. So again, this stanza is just illuminating further into the mind state of this desire for fame and gain, for popularity, to be perceived as wise or as knowledgeable or as correct. And then this judgment, these judges, like you see on, I suppose, these reality TV shows, there's always a panel of judges and then the audience gets to vote and they vote out the person and you have winners and losers. And in the striving for wisdom, you know, to have your fault pointed out by a wise person is a great gift. But in a reality TV show or in a news show where the ratings drop, it's perceived as a great loss or something to cry about, to lament. He has defeated me. We have been defeated. So it's a zero-sum game of winning and losing. There's no win-win. There's no, in wisdom, whatever is arising, if we have mindfulness, if we're mindful, then it becomes food for wisdom. So whether it is Something that is so-called good or pleasant or nice, or something that is difficult or suffering, then it is all food for wisdom in the end. And we can convert it into something useful in our life. So even a suffering or a great tragedy can be the release. It can be the way out. And so again, if we think about many of the suttas, we can think of the great sufferings experienced by some of the individuals in that time. Some of the arahants had very smooth paths to enlightenment, and some had great difficulties, incredible tragedies. And that was the food for their wisdom, for their enlightenment. So, of course, we wish that everybody has a smooth and easy path to enlightenment, to wisdom. But even a defeat, like in this case in the debaters, that for a wise person is a great thing to be having, to be corrected, to have pointed out one's fault. And in a way, this is the basic quality of mindfulness, is that it shows up our own behaviors. And hopefully we can learn to see our own bugs or flaws as features of who we are and what we are, and that nobody is perfect. But it isn't the path to become perfect, to become an arahant. It is just simply the path to become wise and to understand and know our imperfections. So here again, you see this, the heart of the fallacy with the debater is that that they feel that they must win, and they must be popular, and they must be judged as correct, or else they are crying and sorrowing, and they are complaining that he has surpassed me.
So in Dhammapada itte sakkocchimang avadimang ajinimang ahasime, he blamed me, he win me, he told me, therefore I am completely lost like. So then when I started mindfulness, I never read the Pali canon because I was not aware much of the Pali. I learned the English translation. Ken Wilber put that as the choiceless awareness. Whatever coming, you just be aware, don't be judgmental. And evenly suspended attention. So it gave me something, because I am a dirty fellow. I was a bad boy. And he's don't judgmental about my. So all the elders in the group never asked me my history. So I was, what a wonderful thing. We are spiritual people. I am the youngest. When I go there, I know how dirty I am, how opportunist I am. But this is, no, it's the way everyone is. I thought, no, you are something wrong. But this is, we are learning choiceless awareness. 3 years. Now, of course, 30 years, more than 30 years, choiceless awareness. No one can, because everyone is choosy. They have their own choice. So they don't know that's the one leading to hell. That's what the Saturn is. So we being friends, I can tell him directly. He can tell him directly. Of course, 1 or 2 days we are not looking at each other's face, and we will behave like not happy. But after, again the resilience, again recovery. So more the worst, more the turbulent, more the storm in the ship, very colorful journey. Very colorful journey. So I am I am almost 70 years now. So now I am reaching a very, very colorful area. People are fighting. I am also part and partial. But nothing hit me. Nothing come and disturb me. Definitely they know I am a part and partial. But this is Bhante. You are high fellow. You are on top. You don't feel. No, I feel everything. But how to not to be judgmental? I am not 100%. I am telling you. It's gathering the momentum. I see I have a lot to learn. Evenly suspended attention. Suspended decision. Choiceless awareness. So when I talk like that, Sri Lankan monks, they say, you are not talking about the Buddhism, you are not talking about the Buddhist mindfulness, you are talking something borrowed from the West. Never mind, it's helpful for me. So I am comparing it. I tried Venerable Analeo's book, Mindfulness and Satipatthana Bhavana, and he was writing the PhD while he was coming here and we were discussing. And the second part, he always tried to see the early Buddhist thoughts of mindfulness and the Western side. And Bhikkhu Bodhi is a little cautious about the Western interpretation. But I am a bumpkin coming from Sri Lanka. The Western one give something new, dynamic translation. So anyone arguing, I don't care. I don't care whether I am winning or losing. Because he is giving another aspect, another view. And I will present you, I am preparing it now, in Mahabharata. You know Mahabharata? The Sanskrit, Indian, the canon. It says Arjuna and Vishnu come together and Arjuna now has to shoot his all relatives. Vishnu is the charioteer. And he says, you have the ability, you have the arrow, you have this thing in your arm, get the full fledge and shoot the fellows, everyone to suffer. Then Arjuna is asking, are you going to go to the Supreme by that? Have I believe you? Are you representing the truth? Is this the truth? He says, truth has two facets. One thing is, no examples, it's a 100% theoretical maximum. That you can't go, darling. Believe me, I am repressing the truth. Believe the rituals. Believe the idols. And then easy way. The ultimate truth is difficult. Leave it aside. Take me into grant and I am the representative like. Then onward, vipassana gone. Samatha came into being. This is bhakti marga and Dhyana Marga. See, Dhyana Marga is difficult. So why don't you come to the rituals? Do it in a slow way and shall we go to in the last bus? Don't rush. So I am learning how that same thing happened to Buddhism. Everyone talking about the Samatha. Everyone talking about the Karuna. No one is talking about the Vipassana. It is minority. Never mind. It is always minority. But it's not impossible. Okay, that's the end of today's discussion. Thank you very much for the participation.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Okay. About the debating.
You have to take the mic, please.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. About the debating, I think that a healthy debate shouldn't have a winner or a loser, but should have a both winner, because it's through debating that we can search for other opinion and other thing to enrich ourselves. So when we start the debating, thinking about who's the winner, who's the loser, we both losers. And the point of this is, for example, he made the example of the alcoholic. I would sit with the alcoholic to understand what is his point and not try to make him feel as an alcoholic, for example.
That other part is called a dialogue. Mm-hmm. You can have a dialogue. It's a constructive. Debate is always winner and loser.
Okay.
Always destructive. But the debate is very, very dynamic, very action-packed, very dramatic. The dialogue is very decent, very cultured. Same thing is doing, but no winning kind of thing. Dialogue. So discussion we are having, sometimes we are debating, we are sometimes in a dialogue. So keep both open. And whenever it is going to the debate, the discussion must take the discussion into the dialogue form, not to go into the debate form. But the sutta is, the topic is debate. So we are learning about it. Okay, thank you very much for the participation. Suki Hontu.